I frankly am always amazed, which is a good way to be. Just always be amazed. I'm amazed that anyone would be here. The most difficult part of any trip for me is to get to LAX. And then after that, it's getting out of LAX. And then it's getting back into LAX. So I think for all of you, what I want you to feel is a great sense of relief that the difficulty has passed. When Yuki invited me to come, she told me that there was some interest in hearing a little bit about Maizumi Roshi, my first teacher. And I appreciate that because, frankly, I didn't get anything from Maizumi except my love of the Dharma. And the only thing I have to share is this practice. And the greatest fulfillment of my many lifetimes has been that I could sit with people in this country, which was similarly Maizumi's aspiration. And sometimes I feel awed and extremely fortunate that I could sit with familiar faces wherever I go. And this morning it was not lost on me that one of his faces is right over there. So that's always nice for me to see, because I need sledgehammer-like reminders that I'm in the right place already. I'm grateful to you, all of you who came, those who came from near and those who came from far. And whichever one of those applies to you, please know that you all got here because you followed the way. Maizumi was the world's worst talker. He gave terrible talks. And yet, over time, I've come to realize not only what he said, but what he showed, which was the struggle he was in to transmit the Dharma using a language as barbaric as English. He had great difficulty with the English translations which were available at the time, which were scholarly. And scholars tend not to sit. And so what they had was a very high-minded and intellectual interpretation of the teaching. And so I can tell you that when you were in a room when Maizumi was giving a talk, there would be way too much paper in front of him. And you would almost, you know, as he approached, you'd, all that paper. And then he would give a talk, and then the paper would turn, and he'd get a book, and he'd flip through it, and, that's not quite light. And break it to Japanese, or adding to or correcting, mumbling, sometimes growling, you know. And yet, something was conveyed. Some guidance was given. Some teaching was transmitted. And whether you know it or not, that's what brought us here. He was quite humbled in his advanced age, which I actually think now is my age. He was humbled by his inadequacy and the many ways he judged that he had failed the Dharma And he often would repeat, "I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you." In the way that teachers who have been saying the same thing for 50-odd years really throw up their hands and say, "I just want you, let's keep this going. Let's keep going. You know, let's see how it goes." When Yuki said that I should, you know, I might give some thought, some consideration to sharing what I recall of my Sumi, I did remember something. But for you, and before we go any farther, I don't want you to remember anything. I don't want you to remember a single thing I say. And everything that has happened thus far, and all the gobbledygook we said, I don't want you to remember that. I don't want you to reflect on that, cogitate, ruminate on any of that. He said, "Let me just encourage you." And I remembered, actually, the occasion of the first Dharma talk I ever heard him give. I didn't know it was a Dharma talk. I just thought it was one more form of torture. And in fact, that's what he said to me as we encountered one another on the way to the Zendo for the first night of sitting at the very first retreat that I had ever gone to. I stepped outside the back door of what was his house, and he saw me, and he said, "Are you ready for me to torture you?" Well, in some way, I was ready, and I want you to understand that you're ready too. You're ready for me to torture you. In fact, how I responded was, I think I do a good job of that for myself already. You have already been hard at work torturing yourself. And we do have some very, very, very newcomers today, so of course I'm speaking to them with as much consolation as I can give you. It seems like what we're doing is crazy. But I assure you, you brought the crazy with you. This is sane. It's radical sanity. In the same way that sometimes we need to have radical surgery, which means take everything off, cut everything away. This is radically sane. And for myself, when I talk to people, or when I just look around, I say, how can people stay alive without having a practice? I couldn't do that. And then maybe in a more refined way, how can I keep from hurting people? How can I keep from inflicting myself onto others? So the answer to that is always to come sit. Because as I like to say to people, when I go away, sometimes they have to shoot me out of a cannon to Florida, or all the way to New York, or Ohio, or some other kind of place somewhere, you know, in the flyover country. That's how radical a step has to be taken for there to be one less monster in my house. So the occasion of Masumi's first Dharma talk, it was either the second or the third or the 300th or the, you know, 2000th day of Sesshin. And he gave a talk. I really don't remember the talk, but I can remember some words that he spoke because they were so strange. You know, and 25, I don't know, maybe it's 30 years later, I encountered the same words, but they were not strange. And so I'll share them with you today. When Shakyamuni Buddha was at Mount Gudrakuta, he held out a kampura flower to the assembly and blinked. Everyone was silent. Only Mahakashapa smiled. The Buddha said, "I have the true Dharma eye, the marvelous mind of Nirvana, the true form of the formless, and the subtle Dharma gate, independent of words and transmitted beyond doctrine. This I have transmitted to Mahakashapa." So this was the Dharma talk that he gave, and it must have been on like September 24th or 25th of 1993. And it was a beginner's retreat. And I wasn't there to see Mizumi Roshi, because who would ever want to willingly meet Mizumi Roshi? I was there because I just wanted somebody to show me how to sit. Because I was convinced, as you might still be convinced, that you're faking it. You're not doing it the right way. You don't know how this is supposed to go. I've never been trained. Or if I was trained, I was trained in an inadequate way. This was a beginner's retreat, and they said to me when I arrived, "Oh, you're very lucky. It's the kind of luck you don't want to get. You're very lucky. Mizumi never attends beginner's retreats in the city." So he gave this talk, and I'm sure that in short order I was crying copiously, because I did that through most of the retreat. And not because my heart was opening or because I saw a bright light, or but because I was in sheer terror and disbelief that that bell would ring again and they expected me to sit. But a transformation takes place. Something is transmitted. This is found, this story or koan is actually in the Denko Roku, which is a collection. I just like to say things like Denko Roku, Avalokiteshvara. You see, if you love the Dharma, you really do love the Dharma. In the Denko Roku, this is the Buddha's transmission to his first successor, Mahakashapa. And it's a famous thing. It's called the Flower Sermon, or some people call it the Flower Sermon. And you can read about it in a lot of places. You can go online, and people have written blog posts about it, and you can open up books, and it's in the middle of books. And I want you to know that whatever you read about it is wrong. So don't read about it. Because what happens when scholars, or even people who cherish their ideas, interpretations of these things, they think this means something, that there's a meaning to this event, this occasion, that there's some significance to it. And they have an idea what that is. And so they write about what that is. They write about what the flower means, or what the flower signifies. One time I opened a book by that famous guy. I can never remember his name. Eckhart Tolle. And it was about this event, this page that I saw. And he said, he began to say, there's something about the flower. And I set it down. There is something, but it's not really something. And it's really not the flower. But what is it? What is this we chanted this morning? What is this path of no path? What is the wisdom of no wisdom? What is the gain of no gain? We chant these things over and over and over and over and over. But when do we hear them? It takes some time. You know, several dozen lifetimes before you hear that. What is this prajnaparamita? Why are we here? Because you are really here. Because you brought yourself here. And what I want to tell you is trust the feet that brought you here. Really trust that. Trust your life. Trust yourself. Trust the way. You know, the way you came, and then you made the turn, and then you made the wrong turn, and then you had to double back, and then somebody, you know, there was a voice on the dashboard or in your phone or something, and yeah. But as Maizumi would say, trust yourself as the way. Trust your life as the life of the Buddha. Do you trust your life as the life of the Buddha? Do you? Very hard to do, and yet there's nothing to do. And so I remember from this talk, Gudrakuta, oh my God, what am I doing here? Where have I landed? What a mistake. And Kompura flower. So I remembered those sounds, you see. I didn't know what they meant. And I didn't even know that I'd remembered them. And I didn't make an effort to remember it. I didn't go and write it down immediately or pick up a book so that I could find out what this really means or give a lecture on what it means. But when you receive the Dharma, and we do chant it. Now we hear it. Did you hear it? Just hear it. Now we see it. Did you see it? Just see it. Don't think about seeing it. Receive it. How do we receive it? Effortlessly, spontaneously, immediately. And maintain it. So the seeds of the truth, the teaching, the Dharma, the law, you just swallow them. They've already entered you. Just by hearing and not thinking. Just by hearing. And without knowing. The Dharma is you. And at some moment, the truth rises in you and you express it. Spontaneously. Kompura flower. Now we say, and it says in here. Now you didn't come here today to get nothing, even though you're not going to get anything. And you don't practice because you don't think it's going to have an effect. It will have an effect. If you don't expect it. So what is this teaching? What is this truth? What is this Dharma independent of words and transmitted beyond doctrine? Or dogma? Or sometimes it says outside words and letters. And this is what this story asks you to examine. What are you looking for, and where do you expect to find it? You think you're going to leave here with a clever phrase that you can have tattooed on your ankle? What is this marvelous mind? You see, Buddhism, a fine place to learn about Buddhism. What's the closest university?
FAU.
Go there. They'll even give you a certificate. It'll have a stamp on it. And maybe you can be employed, which is not a small thing. If you have an opportunity to be employed, take it. So what is it that in our lineage we hold up? What is Buddha actually holding up? If you think it's something about the flower. But he is holding it up in front of the assembly. Where is the assembly? This is not hard. Does anyone see an assembly? I do. So here we are. He held up the flower and he blinked. Just go ahead and try not to blink. You can't not blink. What is it that blinks? And the assembly was silent. Not silent in stillness, silent in abject confusion. Which is the state we typically live in, right? What does it mean? What is the meaning of my life? What is the purpose? What's the secret? And so, suffocated, really, strangled by their confusion and doubt, they do what most of the time we do in front of a teacher, which is say nothing. Maybe you don't have that kind of relationship with a teacher that I have with a teacher. We wouldn't say the right thing, you know? Am I the only one here who feels like that? But Mahakashapa responds. And what does Mahakashapa do? Go on. Demonstrate your understanding, your expression of this Dharma. He smiles. So what has happened? We have this expression of, in our vernacular called meeting of the minds, don't we? We say we have a meeting of the minds. I want to have a meeting of the minds with you, and during that I want to tell you everything that I think and believe so that you will parrot it back, and then I'll believe that we actually had a meeting of the minds. But you're just pretending that you think like I think. Because as long as we're thinking, the minds have not met. We have not entered mind. So where is mind? We chant it, chant it, chant it. You're sitting in the middle of your mind. And I don't mean this. I mean this. Don't get caught in the form. You're always in the middle of your mind. You are always in... I don't want to misquote the translators. The marvelous mind of Nirvana. Here we are, sitting in the middle of the marvelous mind of Nirvana. Isn't it marvelous? Don't judge. When we judge, it's no longer marvelous. It's tweaking. Let me just make this better. And so there, Shakyamuni Buddha is, zillions and zillions and zillions and zillions of years ago, pointing to the very same thing that Bodhidharma pointed to, pointing to the very same thing that we point to in every one of the forms that we take, the bow, the gassho, the offering incense, the holding of the chant book. What are we pointing to? Live here, free of this. Don't go upstairs, it's dusty. Stay here, where yes, all you have to do is follow. Oh, wow. All I have to do is follow that guy in front of me. Whoa, all I have to do is follow along. See the benevolence? See the supreme compassion of the way? You are always being shown what to do. And then, if you should raise your own wisdom, I have a question. How do I get to the bathroom? You will be shown. This is not a joke. But isn't it in a way a joke? How hard, how blind we are to what? Our life. Can we stay present? Can we be present? Can we be? The sixth patriarch, I want some of you to realize that I've actually studied up on this. The sixth patriarch always started his talks by saying, dear friends, either that or one of the translators did, but I think that if it comes through in the translation, like my teacher always says, who cares who said it, if it's true, dear friends. And you see here, we already are in a state of oneness. This is intimacy. If you don't believe it, is anybody here a scientist? Or did anyone here take fourth grade science? Okay? So you know that on a subatomic level. Okay, you can take that on faith. Okay? That's how you got into college. Or at least how you got out of high school. You could draw an atom, even though you've never seen it. Which consists of empty space. So here we are already living in that state of complete intimacy, no separation. Every koan, every teaching, the entire Dharma says get out of that cell and come out into here. This is the awakened mind. You're the only one who's not awake to it. The birds are awake to it, the trees, the fans, the sun, the moon. Step into it. And so a teacher, a really desperate teacher, holds it up. And then looks. Who sees? Who sees this? Who gets this? Does anyone? There just has to be one. And then the transmission's already complete. He said, dear friends, purify your mind. Which means empty this. I don't care what you've got in there, it blinds you to this. That's how you get what can't be gotten. Open up the room. Open the windows and step out the front door. So I am grateful to you that you invited me to step out my front door. to leave behind whatever came before, and to share this marvelous, subtle, profound day of love, because that's what's here for the taking. Now, I don't have any idea what happens next. However, I want to make sure that I can meet with you personally, if you'd like to. Because my takeaway, so to speak, from my unwanted and unappreciated encounter with my Sumiroshi was that time swiftly passes and opportunity is lost. You will fulfill my vows if I'm able to meet with you mind to mind and face to face. And if you're not on the list, please put yourself on the list. There's a list. Any latecomers can meet privately with me, and I'm really a softie. But I don't often come to paradise of South Florida. And as Maizumi said, there are no accidents. So let's take care of it. I'm deeply grateful to all of you. My teachers are grateful to you, and my mother is grateful to you. What do I do now? 4,000.